This podcast is brought to you by the Compete Network, powered by Clue. If you're looking for the best product marketing or competitive intel content, go to the Compete Network by Clue at thecompetenetwork.com. There are hundreds of hours of content for you to binge there. Make sure to check it out. What's up, everyone? This is the Ready for Launch podcast, and this is a show where we break down product launches, share our favorites, and explain why they work. I'm Andy McOtter-Bicknell, and I'm here with my co-hosts, Tamara Graminski and Jason Oakley. And this is a very special episode because it's the last episode of season one of Ready for Launch. Episode 10, we made it. Hopefully everyone's enjoyed the ride so far. And it only made sense to send us out with a topic that was absolutely consumed everybody's job lately, and that is AI. More specifically, the best AI-based product launch. We're going to also put some guardrails on this, right? So we're going to be excluding the AI companies themselves, like OpenAI and Anthropic, et cetera, that initiated this AI wave. And we're instead going to be focusing on companies that took that technology, adopted it into their product, and were able to then stand out among all the other tools that were doing something similar. So Tamara, do you still think that there's more juice to squeeze out of this AI wave? Or do you think that people are getting kind of tired of it?
I think that people are sick of AI. People are sick of AI being a differentiator because the reality is now it's not. That like first mover advantage has passed. And I think what we're seeing now is that from a functionality perspective, it's becoming table stakes. And from a messaging perspective, we need to find a way to integrate it because there is value in the AI and there's value in what the AI produces. And so you do want to let folks know that the outcome is being driven by AI, but the AI itself shouldn't be the primary message. At least that's my perspective. And I'm curious to see as we dig into these launches, which companies are leading with AI versus which ones are supporting with AI.
I think that within the past year, all the products have been named, product name, AI. Like you had to have it in the names so that people kind of knew what it was. But now I feel like the actual functionality itself of generative AI, something to do with design, whatever, people just come to it like they know what that is and they come to know what it expects. Yeah. And so you don't need to bundle it with that AI frame specifically. I'm going to be really curious how this pans out over the next couple of years.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of it, what AI does for people is automation. And there's always been different ways to automate things. And I think that AI now just kind of, in a lot of cases, comes into under that automation bucket of I'm going to do project management. I want some of what I do to be automated. And we do that with AI. But I think that like you said, Tamara, it's they're looking for the benefit or the outcome, which is I want my job to be automated or I want to be more productive or spend less time doing X, Y, Z. And AI is just the way they do it. But there's also other things that help with that are just not AI. It's just smart automation, workflows and stuff like that. So I think AI just becomes a part of it. Not like people running to buy your product because it uses AI.
I will say that I had a hard time picking a specific AI launch because there's been just tons of AI launches over the past year. I do feel it's every single week, every other week. Even now, what is it? Because ChatGPT came out in November 2022, I think. And so it's been a year and a half. I still feel we're getting lots of AI launches, which, has definitely gone on longer than I would anticipate. But in either case, I've got a pretty strong pick, I feel like, if I do say so myself. I really want to come away with the W. We each have three wins under our belt for this, for our voting on the podcast. I think Tamara's winning the viewer's choice, our audience choice, whatever. Grayson, do you want to come on and give us the official numbers?
Yeah, so as Andy said, this season is tied between the three presenters. It's anyone's game. It's anyone's game. So whoever wins this one wins the whole season. It couldn't be a more photo finish here. And then in terms of the audience score, where people on LinkedIn have been voting throughout the season, Tamara is in the lead. Jason is close behind.
And Andy is far behind. Andy... Love that. Tee that right up. Okay.
Not as much of a close finish there. But still, so we could end with a tie there.
That's okay. Okay.
All right.
All right.
But yeah.
Okay.
You can't see under my desk. My legs are like tapping. I've got like excitement built up. I've got butterflies in my stomach. I'm so stoked about this. I'm really raring to go.
I feel the pressure for this one. I do feel the pressure for this one.
I wasn't until now.
Okay.
Now I do.
Jason. Okay. All right. Me and Tamara will duke it out. It's cool. Okay, the energy is seeping out. Like, let's get to it. Let's do the randomizer. Can we jump in?
We're doing the randomizer for the final time. The randomizer has your guys' lives in its hands right now. But anyways,
four went out for the randomizer.
First, we have Jason.
Okay. Here we go.
All right,
Jason, it's all you.
3, 2, 1.
Okay, so my AI launch is GitHub Copilot. So in the past, 2 years or so, like you were saying, Andy, generative AI is like foundationally changed a bunch of stuff in the software world. But one big piece of that, or one big thing that's been impacted, is software development. And from what I can tell, GitHub has been at the forefront of a lot of that. And so anyone who's not familiar with GitHub, it is a platform where developers use it to manage all their code. They write code in there. They collaborate around code. It is like the go-to tool for a lot of software developers. And Copilot is their AI coding assistant, as it's referred to today, but it's turned into much more than that. And so I'm choosing this launch for a few reasons. One is just the name. We'll talk about the name. The other is just like since they launched this back in 2021, which is cool because we think of ChatGPT as a lot of like the first of a lot of this stuff, but it was back in 2021, they launched Copilot. But it has gone through this like cool evolution, and I think it's evolved in a smart way. And it's also kind of an example of like a really long drawn out rolling thunder in a way. And then the last is their messaging and positioning, which I think is really smart in a world where AI has a lot of like doubters and or like skeptics in terms of they don't want to lose their jobs. So let's talk about the name. They invented the name Copilot. I did a little bit of research yesterday to validate that, but they were the first ones to name their product Copilot. And now it's become like the Pampers or the Kleenex of like AI assistants, right? So everyone has Copilot. Even Microsoft, who launched their own Copilot, and Microsoft actually owns GitHub, which I didn't actually realize until I started doing some of this research. But I think it's a really cool example of how the right name can take off, and how, you know, in this case, Copilot, I just love the name because it's such a great descriptor of the fact that this is like an assistant. It's your Copilot. It's not replacing you, sits next to you, has like the sidekick job, and it helps you do your job better, which also comes into play. And you'll hear about it more when I talk about the positioning and messaging. But also a really interesting example of how names can be copied. I don't understand how everyone was just able to rip off Copilot. Not sure how that happened. Maybe someone can dig into that and understand like from a legal perspective how that's possible. But everyone now uses Copilot. It's very much become like the descriptor of an AI assistant. The next thing is like this idea of how it's evolved, this like rolling thunder in terms of how this product evolved and how they've rolled it out over the last like 3 years. So quick timeline for you. They launched in June of 2021. They launched Copilot in what they call technical preview, which is like their beta, like their like early access type thing. And it was initially available in early preview, and then it launched on about roughly a year later, which is like June 2022. Then later in 2022, they actually launched what they called Copilot for Business. So one cool thing that I like about the evolution of this, and I think you're kind of seeing this with a lot of AI products, is like they start with just users. People who are looking for like interesting, you know, AI tools that can help them evolve the way, like improve their day to day and like solve a problem for them specifically. And with the original Copilot, it actually wasn't like a chat interface. It was just building AI into their product so that it would automatically like review your code and make suggestions as you were using GitHub. And so it was a tool for individuals. But then with Copilot in 2022, it was about, hey, how do we expand this beyond the individual and make it more for like teams and broader, like the organization more broadly. Then in March 2023, now that chat and this idea of a chat interface was more like well-known by people, they actually built and launched Copilot Chat. That's like the chat interface we're all used to, where you could like drop code in there, ask it to debug it, give you feedback, all that. Now in 2024, they've launched Copilot Enterprise, which again, I like this idea of like their evolution and like bringing it broader and more upmarket, where now they're like, hey, we've kind of established this, we've proved it out, and we can start to now sell this and position it towards the enterprise. And then now they just launched, or in technical preview in April, what they call Copilot Workspace, which is now, again, not just making this a chat interface, but saying, hey, we're building out like a suite or a workspace for you And they say it's developers can now brainstorm, plan, build, test, and run code in natural language. So I really like how it's this like steady progression and evolution of the product. But I also feel like it's like a smart progression based on what the customers and the market are like comfortable with and are looking for at the time. And so the last one here is their positioning and messaging. And like with the launch of Copilot, they were marketing to like a pretty skeptical audience pretty naturally, right? Like it's developers. They don't like to be marketed to, and they have a lot of sway within companies. They don't want to lose that by having AI that can replace them. So early on, they were like careful with their positioning and messaging. This is from a TechCrunch article. GitHub has partnered with OpenAI to develop this tool. It doesn't replace developers. It's just a tool that should improve productivity and make it easier to learn how to code. Another thing that says, it's not saying they were writing perfect code for you or replacing a programmer. Instead, it was providing suggestions and making devs more productive. So it's all about like, hey, we help you be better at your job and move faster. Whereas like if you take Devin, a product that was released earlier this year, they actually call their product the world's first fully autonomous AI software engineer, which as a software engineer, that could be kind of scary. You're like, are you going to replace me? And there's just a lot of fear on the web of like it being replaced. They also did a lot of like data to support Copilot. So like in the early preview version of it, they had 1.2 million developers used it, right? And they were able to bring a lot of data saying how it helped and like to prove out this new concept. They also surveyed 17,000 devs using it. 75% of them said it reported that when they use Copilot, they spend less manual effort on repetitive programming tasks. The other thing that I found cool is like now today, when they release this Copilot workspace, there's this whole section in the announcement that talks about this enabling a world of 1 billion developers. So it said GitHub celebrated over 100 million developers on their platform last year. And now they said programming is a natural language. Programming in a natural language lowers the barriers of entry of who can build software. We are accelerating to a near future where 1 billion people on GitHub will control a machine just as easily as they ride a bike. So it's this idea of like a computer on every desk in every home sort of thing. They actually don't want to replace developers. They want to make more of them by making it easier to develop software. And they also said like at a time when a world is dependent on and in short supply of professional developers, they're actually making it easier for more people to become developers. The last thing is that I found that they were one of the first companies to shift their entire platform messaging to be like AI focused. So the success of Copilot, it actually led GitHub to further lean into AI and make it part of their platform positioning. So if you go to their site now, it says it's the world's leading AI powered developer platform, which I think of being early on one of the first people to do that, like makes a lot of sense. Even though now you're starting to see more people do it, I think it's just a way to kind of hop onto the AI train. So all that, I think it's a pretty clear sign of a successful product launch of Copilot to see where they've come today. And I'll leave it at that.
Well done for the last, for your last spiel on season
I went
one.
Over by like 10 seconds, but I appreciate you giving me the extra time.
No, we're knocking off a couple points there. No, but I thought you did a great job. And I can speak a little bit to like that Copilot naming because you mentioned like the legality of it. Which to your point, I feel like just about maybe half of AI releases, like people call it a Copilot. And we experienced something similar to that. I remember looking into it. This is back when I was at ZoomInfo and we were launching a sales engagement tool and we were calling it ZoomInfo Engage at the time. But there are a ton of other tools also called like company name Engage. And we looked into it. And the reason why it's pretty much like okay is because Engage is such like a broad like descriptor, like no one can really own just like any word really. And so my guess is Copilot is also similar enough to where like it's so broad, it's not like a made up term. You can't really just like copyright it just for like the name of your product. Yeah. So just a little bit of backstory there.
Yeah,
I'm torn on the name thing. I fun fact that it was the first one. Love that. So I'll give them props on that. I agree that the name Copilot is very smart, especially in those early days of, as you mentioned, there's so much fear about AIs replacing us versus being like, no, like you can be better with AI by your side. It's like Batman and Robin. However, I do think it has become commoditized. And like when I hear the name Copilot now, if you just said like, I use Copilot, I would have no idea what product you mean because I'm like, okay, that's almost every AI product out there. And so I think it's both a challenge and an opportunity for them, I would say.
Yeah.
And I would say too, I feel like that messaging and positioning This is like the challenge with really nailing a launch early on. Like if other people take it, like some people are going to probably remember and just associate it with you or like the originator, whoever came up with it first. But then if so many people take it, then it can be hard to like differentiate after the fact, like as time goes on. Like the same thing with like that, we don't replace devs, we just make them more productive. If I had a nickel, like for every time I've heard that, but like insert different like user or like persona, like job title for AI, everyone says that now. And so it's really not differentiated or memorable in really any way, shape, or form. But you know, at the time when they were launching it, I'm sure that helped bring in users for that initial, you know, big push. But that is an interesting point. Like you probably have to evolve that messaging and positioning over time.
Yeah, that is why like I kind of like this idea of like the 1 billion developers.
Yes.
Like it's they're starting to leave, not like they're leaving that messaging behind in a way, but it's like, hey, if you productivity is one thing, but we just want to make it easy for everyone to develop code because hey, the world's going to need a lot of software developers. Like they talked about this other idea too of like we want people who are like people to be involved in more of like the like systems thinkers and like more of the strategic stuff, but all the boilerplate stuff, let's let the AI kind of do that for you. And I think it's more of like getting people to think about, oh, no, we'll focus on the fun, interesting stuff, not all this other junk that AI can automate. So I think it's like, how do you take that idea of we're not going to replace you, but continuously like evolve it into it? Don't be afraid of this product. It's actually going to help you and help the industry and all that.
Yeah, I like it. It's like a call to arms, a bit of a, like a rallying cry, a bit of a mission behind it. And people love that. And, you know, whether that will be sustainable for them moving forward or just another phase of their differentiation and positioning, who's to say? But I think that that was a smart evolution for them from what you said, Andy, early on, which quickly becomes commoditized. And now they're saying something different, but it's a natural progression from what they said originally.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. What do we got next?
Next on the randomizer, the number two spot in the final episode, season one, we have Tamara Grominski.
Woo, Tamara, here we go.
I'm going to do my stretches.
Right, yep, get loose. Here we go.
We're going to take a quick second to talk about our course, Ready for Launch. Andy, Tamara, and I, we've analyzed through this podcast and through our careers, we've analyzed over hundreds of different product launches. And one thing we know for sure is that they are challenging to plan, challenging to coordinate, and make successful. And so if you are a beginner product marketer up to someone who is a seasoned product marketer trying to level up in how you plan and execute launches, check out Ready for Launch. This is a cohort-based course that is going to teach you everything you need to know about planning and executing a launch from start to finish. So go to maven.com and search for Ready for Launch to sign up for our next cohort. Look forward to seeing you there.
3, 2, 1.
All right. So I tried really hard to think of an AI launch by a company who was maybe underrated or up and coming. I really want to try to showcase those like the underdogs on this show. But at the end of the day, the launch that really stood out to me the most is from one of the biggest brands out there, Canva. And I know we gently touched on Canva in a previous episode, but we didn't talk about this launch. And so this is what I'm going
to
talk about.
We're just going to default to Canva whenever we can't. Like, I feel like Canva is just one of those companies. I'm sorry, we're stealing some time. But like, anytime we can't think of someone, what did Canva do? What did they do for this?
And I wonder if every episode when we talk about Canva, were they the example that won?
Yeah, curious. That's a good. Yeah.
Deal. No. Okay, back to my time, guys. So, I actually love this launch. And I would say this is my favorite launch from Canva at like overall as well. So super stoked I get to talk about it today. And there's a few reasons why I think it is the best AI launch. One of those reasons has to do with the launch itself. The other reasons are some really smart strategic go-to-market decisions that they made around how to bring this to market. So first, let's talk about the launch. They built trust, interest, and demand with Rolling Thunder launches. And I feel like we should be taking a shot every time we say Rolling Thunder on this show because we say it so much. But it's, you know, as we know, such a powerful strategy, and Canva is such a great example of a company that uses this well. So similar to Jason, your example, Canva released a series of different AI evolutions over time. And I would say they really, I'm calling them teasers before they actually launched Magic Studio. So they kept the Rolling Thunder going for about a 6-month period from March of 2023 until the official launch in October. But it actually started even before that. So Canva first dipped their toe in the AI waters in 2022 with the release of Magic Write. And then they did a fast follow in March with a handful of other magical features. And they actually claimed to be the first company to integrate this ChatGPT style AI across their entire product suite. And they really did set the tone for like a UI friendly, customer friendly way of engaging with AI. And so with each release in their Rolling Thunder, they're not only expanding the AI use case. So you're starting to see functionality pop up in app. Maybe you're getting emails about it, but they're also adjusting and testing their messaging. And as the months go by, since I'm a user of Canva, I can really see that their language is softening and they're really adjusting how they're communicating the value of AI. And with each new feature that's popping up, I'm starting to get the sense of momentum and a feeling like maybe something bigger is coming. Then finally, they kind of give the hint that yes, something bigger is coming. They create a dedicated landing page where you can capture leads and they're going to offer you early access signups. The page had a countdown timer to create a sense of urgency and excitement. And then finally, in October of 2023, they package all of their AI features, which they've previously released, into a new product that they call Magic Studio. And I think they did the timing of this really well. First, they built up demand, interest, and credibility with all of the releases that they were doing. But then they also timed the launch of Magic Studio with their 10-year anniversary as a company. So they're already getting press and some eyeballs on this. And it really is setting the stage for like the next 10 years of Canva. So that's the launch itself. And truly, I could talk about this for the whole time, but I think they did some other stuff right too. So the next one is they have built really whimsical and differentiated positioning. Most companies, when they talk about AI and they position AI, as we just talked about, they talk about saving time, increasing productivity. So, you know, let the robots do robot stuff so you can do what you love. Canva takes a completely different spin on this. So here's what some of their competitors say. Adobe says, Adobe AI champions standards that enhance productivity. Prezi says, refine, enhance, and tailor content quicker than ever. What does Canva say? Supercharge your creativity. So they talk about simplifying workflows. They talk about saving time. But their leading value proposition is actually about creativity, transformation, dreaming bigger. And so they're positioning their AI as not just, you know, removing the boring stuff so you can be creative, but actually, our AI will make you more creative. And I think that's pretty bold, but it is resonating really well. And so they make this AI seem larger than life and magical. And this magical element is carried through every AI product that they've released at Canva. They have Magic Design. They have Magic Switch. They have Magic Media. Every AI product that's released gets a magic name. And now this might sound kitschy to some people, but I really like it for three reasons. The first reason is pattern recognition. It's super easy for customers, prospects, anyone to know immediately when a Canva product is powered by AI because it has the name Magic in it. The second reason is reinforced branding. With every new AI product they release, the magic grows. The brand around magic grows. And there are like basically creating more value for what they've previously released with each future release. And so it's super powerful. It's really compounding the benefit of magic. And then finally, differentiation. So since they've given their AI its own brand, it stands out against competitors who all call their product co-pilots. And it makes it super easy for, it would be super hard for a competitor to steal it at this point. It would be pretty obvious that you ripped it off from Canva if you started to call your AI product magic something. And so it's not to say someone won't do that, but I think they've built a bit of a differentiated moat here. The third thing I want to talk about is how they address skepticism with launch. And so what Canva did was they put a proactive emphasis on safety and data. And now, you know, the user of Canva is an everyday person. They're not necessarily someone super technical or sophisticated. And so there's definitely a higher level of skepticism about technology and AI. And so they address this face on by launching something alongside Magic Studio called Canva Shield. And Canva Shield is a set of trust, safety, and privacy controls that positions Canva as a responsible and ethical player in the AI space. And so Canva Shield actually allows you to turn on and off privacy settings, like whether your content will be used to train Canva's AI. And in a time when almost every company is like really unclear and fuzzy about this, Canva takes such a clear stand and allows you to opt in, which I just think is super powerful. They also announced with the launch of Magic Studio a $200 million commitment over 3 years in content and AI royalties for creators on their platform who do opt in to help them train their own models. So again, getting ahead of a lot of criticism that could come around this topic of, you know, is it ethical for AI to use other creators' work to train their own model? I'm going to take one more second because you guys interrupted me earlier. not only are these all compelling reasons, but, you know, when you name your product Magic something, it better actually be magical. And it is. I mean, the best part of Canva AI is that it just works, unlike any other AI product I've ever used. If you've tried it, you know that it really does feel like magic. And so spot on there. And fun fact, as of May 2024, Canva's AI products have been used more than 5 billion with a B times. And so I'm obviously not the only one who thinks that it is magical. I rest my case.
Well done.
Boom.
Leaving us with that stat. Love it. love it. I think that there's a couple of things that I love about this launch. One is I think they replicated multiple things about the Canva Magic launch in other launches down the road. Like I remember like that countdown thing that you mentioned, a lot of like the in-app walkthroughs. I remember seeing that with like their product showcase, which I think they did like maybe, I don't know, like I guess it was close to like a year later, or maybe 6 months later, whatever. And so that just goes to show like they really went all out for that launch. And then they're like, ooh, wow, this really went well for us. Like, what can we replicate for other launches down the road? You know,
I just thought, you know, they're in a great space too, where they, you know, they can be whimsical and like everything that they do is very visual. So like when you're, totally. You know, you take like a GitHub, for example, it's like, it's code. The output is code, which is like not the sexiest thing, but when you have like very cool, whatever you design, one pagers or presentations or everything, it's just like, it lends itself to like really just cool looking marketing that catches people's eye and stuff, which I like. I really like too, the whole like royalty piece.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
I think that's just super smart.
I've never heard of that
like
before.
Needed too. Cause yeah. I do think you're going to, a platform like Canva, like you come in there, eventually you just be able to like design me a one pager that looks like X, Y, Z. And it's going to make you something that's probably based off like things people built in there. And so I don't know how that revenue share is going to work, but that's awesome.
Yeah. Do you have any more info on that, Tamara?
It's unclear. Basically, so when you go into your Canva Shield, there's a toggle that lets you turn on A, if you want your content to be training the model or not. And then a few other options. People who toggle it on, because the default is off, people who toggle it on will be basically pooled into this group and then funds will be distributed in some way. And there's not a lot of clarity on that. But this is kind of a newer announcement. So I think it will have more information as it starts to roll out a little bit more. But I love that. Like, I just feel like they're doing the right thing. And there's so many tools and products where it's like, just be unclear. Just like leave it to the imagination. Or like default on, we'll use it to train it and like make them jump through hoops if they want to have it opt out. And I just love that they're like, no, we're going to default you to opt out. We're going to give you so much options on how to opt in and just make it super clear. Because I feel like that immediately I trust them more, whether or not I should. I just do because they've taken a stand on it.
That's true.
Yeah.
But Jason, I do believe seeing is believing. And I think like, and this is why they can get away with the magic in the name, I think, because everywhere, whether it's in their marketing, on the landing page, in app, it's littered with these like illustrations or visualizations of how the product actually gets applied. And you literally see magic happen before your eyes. Like, it's pretty crazy. I remember back in the day when Canva first came out with like background remover. Yeah, I thought that was crazy at the time.
Same, but not every day, every week.
I used a different tool for it. Yeah.
Totally. Exactly. And now, it's like the magical moment that you first experienced when you used that product is replicated across their entire product in every tab that you go into. And I think that's hard to do. It's hard to keep the magic alive across your entire product and not just in one area of your product. And so I think they do a really good job there.
There's a LinkedIn post today. I just quickly like saw it and I apologize to whoever wrote it and I'm not give them credit, but they had said, we're used to seeing a lot of like these demos now of what AI could do, or like it's giving, but it's more, I think, I would love to see with something like Canva of like, show me a showcase of all the real things people built with AI, where it's like social proof, basically, of like, this was built with AI, this was built with AI. So, and even like the prompts they use, like that would be really cool. Cause then I'd be like, I can just replicate, give me more ideas on how I could actually use it. Cause sometimes I find you use these tools, they're kind of interesting, but I haven't like spent the time on like perfecting a prompt so that I actually know how to get the same type of output. So.
All right.
Well, there's only one person left.
God, I'm so nervous. This is the most nervous I've been this entire podcast, even more than than our first episode. Oh my God, my hands are sweaty.
I was definitely more nervous spaghetti. On the first episode.
Oh my God. Okay. Here we go. I promise to do you guys good. Here we go.
3, 2, 1.
All right. I'm not going to bury the lead this time. My pick is Notion AI. First, what is Notion AI? So for those that don't know, Notion is a productivity and note-taking tool, very, very popular for both business and personal use cases. And Notion AI, as you can imagine, applies AI into helping people stay more productive when they're writing, organizing tasks, etc. Not dissimilar to a lot of other AI applications that we've seen at this point. So, but there's three reasons why I'm picking Notion AI. The first is speed and innovation. So let me paint a quick picture for you to explain why. So Notion AI's alpha release was November 16th of 2022. And we've kind of already touched on this, but just play along. Do either of you know when ChatGPT, you know, the public interface that everyone went crazy for, when that was released? Specific date?
October 23rd.
No.
June?
It was November 30th, 2022. So this was 2 weeks after Notion AI Alpha was announced.
Really?
So even before, yes, exactly, yes. So, and I'll really? Go into it. So even before that massive craze swept the tech world, the Notion team had already predicted that it'd be really helpful for their customers. They weren't just reacting to what other companies had added to their products. So keep that in mind. Their co-founder and CEO, Ivan Zhao, published to a blog last November describing some of the details leading up to this launch. In it, he mentions a couple interesting things. So number one, how they had actually visited OpenAI's office in as early as 2019. The product obviously wasn't ready back then, but it just goes to show how in touch they were with up-and-coming tech. And the second was how their waitlist for Notion AI ended up being over 2 million people when they were expecting just a couple of 100,000. Okay, so I actually, too, have a really vivid memory of this. When I requested to join the beta, when it had come out all those months ago, I got a pop-up that said something along the lines of, "Congrats, you're on the wait list. You are number 235,000 in line." And I just thought that that was hilarious. I actually like messaged other people that I knew had also requested access to see like what like ridiculous number they had or like where they were in line. And their numbers, yeah, they were as equally as ridiculous. And so I think I'm just going to like steal that idea. Number one, for any beta, it's like, I'm just going to give somebody like a ridiculously high number. People are going to be like, oh my God.
Start like, the number this, at like 100,000.
Yeah, this thing is like so hype right now. Like, oh my God. So anyway, it really just added like that, like I said, hype element to their product and encouraged me to like ask other people about it and share it. But anyway, they got so much interest because they were early and people weren't burnt out on AI yet. They were one of the first consumer technologies to implement the potential of AI in the ways that are almost second nature to us now. And so that's my first reason for picking them. And the second reason is, you guys, we all need to take a shot because my second reason is Rolling Thunder, baby. No, I'm not kidding. So Notion AI wasn't just a one and done launch. They launched it publicly in early 2023. And continued iterating throughout the year to make it better. And it started with simple prompts like, hey, we're like, write a blog, check for grammar and spelling. And then over the course of many months, it turned into Notion Projects, which allow project managers to use AI to do the heavy lifting. And then Notion Q&A, which turns the platform into a wiki and like where your employees can really just like ask any question about like policies, company goals, whatever. And Notion would then answer based on the info that was in the company's Notion instance. So again, Notion wasn't just released once in early 2023. It was released again and again and again throughout the year to drill into people's brains that it's there and it could help them. And now let's talk about the last reason why I picked Notion AI, which is theming and iconography. And this is a really unique reason and one that I wouldn't normally think of for product launches. But it was really important in the case of Notion AI because it was such a unique, different capability from what people were used to. Remember, again, this is like before almost the ChatGPT craze. So people like didn't really know like what it was all about. So Notion had to really ground this capability into something that was relatable to people. And what they landed on ended up getting copied by hundreds of other companies that added AI to their product. And that is the theme of, I'm going after you, Tamara, magic and the iconography of the sparkle emoji. So that's right. I'm saying it now. Notion AI was the first release that made the sparkle emoji synonymous with AI and the first release to use the theming of magic to describe what AI does for users. And you can see that if you go onto Wayback Machine. I don't know how often you guys use that, but like if you go onto Wayback Machine, yeah, so go to Notion.ai. And like even as early as, I think, yeah, it was like November of 2022, you can see like the sparkle emoji and then like some of their like little like outline stick figure characters. They're all like magical. That's the theme. So they did that in as early as 2022 when they were promoting the alpha launch. And since then, hundreds of other quote unquote magic AI launches have come out using that same sparkle emoji iconography. And for those keeping score at home, remember, Canva released in October of 2023, I believe, almost a year later. So Notion did it first. They evangelized that creative, and it was one of the core reasons why it stood out, got people interested, and encouraged them to give the product a try. And I'll just leave it there.
I would like to correct the stat, Andy, and say that Canva released the Magic Write in 2022 as well. So who's to say? Did Magic Write come out before the Notion, Sparkle?
Okay, all right. We'll let the viewers decide for that one. Okay. But anyway, what
can be the poll.
Outside of that, what'd you guys think?
That was great.
I love it. I love Notion. So happy. Yeah, so happy when you chose this. So I love Notion. Like, I use it. And I'm almost embarrassed to say this. Like, I don't use the AI capability. Yeah. Is that crazy? Like, do you guys use AI in Notion?
I do. Oh, yeah. I use it for very basic capabilities because because we use it at Apollo too, but we don't pay for, you know, the AI capability. I'm not the admin. Okay. So I don't control that stuff. But when I first started at Apollo, we had enough of like the free trial, like credits that would come up. And I thought it was very helpful. Like I did use like the Q&A. I did use like the summarizing capabilities because we use like a lot of docs for, pitching projects, like why things are important, like that kind of a thing. And so I would use the summarizing tool all the time for that.
What I like about it is that, if you think like a lot of companies just use Notion for everything. So it's kind of like how you see AI now going into like Google Workspace and stuff like that, where it's just like, I've used it in Notion because I'm writing like some messaging in Notion and I want someone, or like copy I'll be writing and I'll want maybe a long form of something and I'll ask it to cut it down or make it more concise or make it like a seventh grade reading level or something like that. It's pretty good in that way, where I think like the interesting thing about their product is that the use cases are like so broad. There's like a million different use cases for Notion. And so that's why it's cool when you see like like Jess, for example, come out with like AI for product marketers. It's like taking their AI and actually putting it on a use case, which is cool. I also think that was interesting the way they, you had touched on it, Andy, where like you got to try it. I first tried it because they gave us a certain number of free credits, which is the idea of like premium around AI. I think Canva does it kind of similarly, where you get to just use it a couple, like this seems to be the go-to model for like freemium with AI is like you get a certain number of tries. You get to see what it can do, and then you got to pay for after you use those credits, which seems to work pretty well.
And they're pretty generous with like the number of credits too, because like there is a little bit of a learning curve of trying to figure out like what exact prompt spits out the best like framework or like, you know, the best type of like writing or like something to match the tone. And so you really get used to using it. And then like when they finally cut you off, you're like, oh, I kind of need that. That'd be, you know what I mean? The other thing that I noticed too, which is, we didn't plan this, but each of our AI choices, they were like pioneering different AI use cases. So like Jason, like yours with like the dev persona, Tamara, Canva with like designers, and Notion with like writers or productivity. So it's like different applications that are now, I would say like the norm, but at the time it was like mind-blowingly like, oh my God, like the world is changing. Like, what is this era? And so I think that's pretty cool that there's like these three like originators, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like pick a role. What is their like go-to product that is like core to what they do? And then chances are at some point that product is either already done it or will soon make like start to build an AI.
Good one. Good choice.
Cool. Yeah. All right.
Nice.
I think that's it.
Time for the vote.
The vote. Oh my God.
Wow. I actually have quite a lot of adrenaline.
Can we do it? If it's a tie, we should just keep it a tie. Call the season a tie.
Maybe. Yes. I don't want the pressure.
How do you feel about that?
How could it be a tie?
Sure.
Wait, what are you talking about?
I thought you were.
How could it be a tie?
Because
if
you each pick each other.
Oh.
Right.
That wouldn't be fun.
Like
that wouldn't be fun.
I'm like, okay.
The only reason,
as long as I still get my crown.
The only reason, and we can leave this in. Like I've gotten like a message, like of people being like, you guys should like disagree more, there should be like some more like conflict. And so like in the spirit of not just like everyone agreeing and patting each other on the back all the time, I will give in and say that no, we should probably have a winner of the season. Yeah.
I figured that would have been an immediate no for me tomorrow. That's why I said it.
Like, hell no.
Well, Grayson's too much of a wild card. I can't put my life in his hands.
All right. So then, is there anything on the line here? Or is it just bragging rights?
I think it's just bragging rights.
I think it's bragging rights for life.
I feel anxious, you guys. This is a very stressful moment.
Feel like at peace now. You know, we've all delivered. There's nothing else to do but just to sit and let what needs to happen, you know?
Oh, the votes are in.
God.
And we have a three-way tie.
Are you sure?
No!
What do we do? Oh, so it's up to Grayson? It's up to Grayson? It's up to Grayson.
Oh, no.
No!
No, we can't do it. Oh, man.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
That's awesome.
Who knew the most important role in this show was going to be you, Grayson?
Yeah, you're the
in this final moment of our decider. Final episode.
All right. So we are coming back after a 5-minute discussion of what to do, because that was a real 3-way tie. We did not script that. And so the way that this is going to work is we are leaving it up to you, the listeners. You are going to determine who the overall winner is. Audience choice has already been decided. Tamara is the winner there, but we are going to put some extra stakes on this specific poll that I'm going to be posting on my LinkedIn. And so whoever wins this specific audience choice is also going to win the season between us that the hosts vote on. So we're putting our lives in your hands, essentially.
Yeah, that's for stakes here. So bragging rights, obviously bragging rights. I think someone promised me I was going to be getting a crown when I won.
Nobody promised that.
Okay, so I'll be making myself a crown.
Okay, so tomorrow
you go ahead and you make yourself a crown. Fine. That'll be that'll be perfect.
High stakes.
Yeah. So this is big. You guys got to come through for us. Here we go.
This was fun. I'm like, this is a bittersweet moment. I can't believe season one's over.
I know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If I can just have a moment, I will just say it has been an absolute pleasure working with you, Jason, you, Tamara, you, Grayson, and just to everyone listening. Like, this takes a lot of work to put together this podcast, lots of research. This is not just like we hop on and chat. There's a lot of like behind the scenes logistics that go into scheduling, doing all the creative, all the prep. And definitely want to make sure that the team over at Clue and the Compete Network, they get their kudos, because I've personally done like a solo podcast before, and this is like a whole other level, having like a legit production behind a podcast, and it's really made all the difference. And so just want to like make sure that is mentioned here.
Yep. And a big special shout out to you, Grayson, because you've just been awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Keeping us on track. Hurting us.
Yeah.
Hurting
MVP. Us.
All right.
Exactly. Thank you so much, Grayson.
Thank you guys. This has been a really fun, really, really, really fun show to produce. And season one couldn't have gone crazier. I can't even believe it. It's been a ride. It's awesome.
It has.
Is this your favorite podcast you've worked on?
Yeah. For the record.
I plead the fifth.
Plead the fifth again. We're gonna let him off the hook twice in the same podcast episode. Okay. All right. That's fine. That's fine. All right. So should we wrap up? Anything else?
All right, everyone. Well, that's the end of episode 10. Thanks so much for joining us throughout this whole season. If you haven't seen all of our past episodes, go back and watch the rest of the catalog, if that's what you call it. The plan is for us to do a season two if that's what people want. So our call to action for you is to hop on LinkedIn, to shoot us, you know, DM us, shoot us an email, whatever. Let us know if you've liked the season. Let us know if you want us to do another one. Even make suggestions on what you'd like to see in season two. If people want it, then we'll go and we'll make season two. So we'll leave it at that. Thanks again for everything. Big shout out to Clue. Big thanks to you, Grayson. Big thanks, Andy and Tamara. And we'll see you on season two.
See you at season two.
Bye.